Welcome back to another episode of The Occasionalists. Matt Pagel here once again, flying the ship solo as we press on through our playlist, our third week of The Occasionalist Daily with our playlist week. And today we are hitting Thursday, so you know what that means. It is Throwback Thursday. We'll get into that here in a second, but first, a little bit of what happened on this day in music history. So on this day, March 21st, 1987, U2, have you heard of them? Climbed to the top of the UK charts with their fifth album, Joshua Tree. You know some of the songs on it, like With or Without You, Where the Streets Have No Name. Great, it's an excellent, excellent album. But Joshua Tree became UK's fastest selling album ever at the time. And it was, I love this little bit of trivia here, was the first CD, compact disc. Young people, ask your parents about them, or me. Was the first CD to move more than 1 million units. A little more amazing trivia on here. The album remained on the British charts for an astonishing 156 weeks, consecutive weeks. That's unbelievable. Folks, that is over 3 years of being on the British charts. And it became, obviously became one of the world's best-selling records, but just absolutely in an insane sort of run for U2 starting at this point. I mean, they're already very popular, but U2 really becomes the U2 that we think about with the Joshua Tree. But just a couple of things here. The first CD, first compact disc to move more than 1 million units and 156 consecutive weeks, the entire album on the British charts. That's astonishing. Stuff that you will literally never see ever again, is this kind of stuff where, you know, CDs moving that many units, albums sticking for that long on the charts, just stuff you will never, ever see again. So U2 really making history on this day, March 21st, 1987. As previously mentioned, we are doing our Throwback Thursday playlist. Now here's the thing about this. Like, what do you kind of consider throwback music? And I figured that, you know, I am as a person who's interested in all sorts of music. As I've mentioned before, you know, I like Motown and stuff like that. I feel like it would be like a disservice if I didn't start far enough back and then roll back from there. So for this Throwback Thursday, and it feels like an appropriate amount of time, all of the songs that I am going to cover are at least 30 years old or older, right? Like everything for this Throwback Thursday is 1994 or older. Just feels like a good, you know, a nice point in time there to kind of mark it and then move backwards. And again, these aren't like, this isn't like comprehensive. This is easily the biggest playlist that I have here, but it's also not comprehensive. Just kind of a cross-section, again, of the things that I enjoy. I also picked out a couple of songs that are just they're so very of their time that it just felt necessary to put them in here and kind of give a little backstory on them as to why I picked them. There's one in particular that's staring me right in the face right now that I can't wait to talk about. But yeah, definitely more of a cross section of the things I like and I enjoy. Which I guess this whole week has been, but certainly this is really going to get to it. So our Throwback Thursday playlist here. Everything starts in 1994, and there's no particular order that you have to play these in or anything like that. I am just going to go backwards in time, though, starting from 1994, and then I will tell you this: our first song is in 1994, and the last song that we're going to cover is from 1972. So we're spanning the decades here. And I'll just roll back year by year, and if there's you know something super interesting about the song, I'll mention and kind of break it down a little bit, that'll be it. That's how we're doing our Throwback Thursday, our pre 1994. I guess technically pre 1995, but we can call it 1994 or whatever. Our 1994 back Throwback Thursday. All right, so we are going to start in 1994, and I wanted to highlight especially that this point in time. Early to mid 90s, really even through the late 90s, but especially like the early to mid 90s, we were obsessed with these like instructional hip hop dance songs and other songs that just implored us to dance. Thinking about some songs like Black Boxes, Strike It Up. There are, what else is kind of pops to mind? Digital Underground, Humpty Dance. Obviously, you know, Tag Team, Whoop There It Is, kind of a dance one. Later on, obviously, we get stuff like Macarena. That's like, you know, that's very, very famous. Even, and then, you know, as we get into the 2000s, there's, you know, like Teach Me How to Dougie and stuff like that. But we were just like obsessed with these instructional dance. I forgot the Dip by Freak Nasty. You put your hand up on my hip when I dip. Anyway, ask your parents about that one. Yeah, we were just obsessed with this. So I feel like I had to take one of my favorite ones from this era to start off with, and that is the 69 Boys' Tootsie Roll. Maybe the quintessential sort of instructional dance song. You know, especially one of the early ones too, obviously from 1994, giving you instructions on how to do the Tootsie Roll exactly. And the 69 Boys had a lot of songs like this. It's just like, it's just very like, it's hard to explain why these songs are so popular to someone who's like, they all kind of sound the same. They all kind of have the same sort of focus on how to, you know, how a woman should best gyrate her ass in your face. That's basically like what all these songs were. You know, Tootsie Roll, The Dip, even Macarena to a lesser degree. I know I'm forgetting a few others here that came around at this point in time, but I think 69 Boys' Tootsie Roll is one of the perfect examples of this sort of instructional dance music. And then obviously later on we have like, you know, you have songs like again early 2000s, you get like the Cupid Shuffle and stuff like that. You know, even earlier on, you know, there's like Electric Slide and some other dance songs like that. But like we had this weird period where the club hip hop was just all about stuff like Tootsie Roll and telling women how to shake their asses in front of their men's faces. So that's how we're kicking it off. 69 Boys, Tootsie Roll. And this is just a song that I've loved for literally the past 30 years. I will always love this song. Also from 1994. Innie Kamoze, Here Comes the Hot Stepper. This is one of the ultimate sort of like, this is the kind of music, if you were like writing the scene in a movie to your, you know, like your autobiography, you know, your biopic or whatever, and you're like making your entrance, this is the song that you want to make an entrance to. Here Comes the Hot Stepper. At this point in time too, in the 90s, we were kind of obsessed. Innie Kamoze, a hip hop reggae kind of blend. And we were definitely into reggae, that sort of hip. It's not reggaeton, you know, thinking about like what reggaeton is now, but like this, definitely like this more hip hop oriented reggae. So you had like Innie Kamoze, you had Shaggy, obviously, you know, probably the biggest one at this point in time in the early 90s. But we were kind of into that as well. And I think Innie Kamoze's Here Comes the Hot Stepper is my favorite of these sort of reggae hip hop hybrid songs. And also definitely one of the coolest of these songs. All right, can't wait to talk about this one. I had to include this because I just remember when this song came out, it felt like it was everywhere. I have an older sister who would have been in middle school at this point in time. So this would have been just like absolute candy for her. So I heard it a lot when I was a kid. And it's we're now in 1991, and I'm talking about CMB, baby, Color Me Bad, with their seminal hit, I Want to Sex You Up. I had to include this, not because it's a good song, because it is not a good song, but it is an absolute time capsule of a song from the performance, this sort of adult boy band that was definitely like, they were not trying to like pull at the innocent heartstrings of like teen girls in the same way that like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees kind of were. These were like adult, you know, they're still like in their 20s or whatever, but like these were like adult lyrics about like getting drunk and having sex and taking the phone off the hook and hooking up behind people's backs and stuff. It was definitely a different point in time for this song in the 90s. I don't really think that you hear I don't think you hear it the same way that you hear that you heard it, you know, over 30 years ago. But also including the song because this was like this was at the time. It really is kind of modest by modern standards. But at the time, this was a fucking like you did not put this song on. If this song came on, like if you were putting on your favorite radio station, whatever it was back in the day, you're driving around with your parents, you were mortified if this song came on. And your parents would have been like, what? They want to sex you up? They said sex in a song? Like, it, I don't want to say it was like some kind of watershed controversial moment necessarily, but you really didn't have as many songs that were outwardly just like, I want to take your clothes off and have sex with you. I want to get you drunk and have sex with you. Like, that's exactly what the lyrics to this song are. So it was just, it was everywhere. It was ever present. Color Me Bad that year in 1981 going into 1992 had like multiple hits. And I can't shake it. When I was doing a little bit of research for this song, I can't shake this joke that I saw on Reddit about, Color Me Bad being Walmart celebrities because like they three out of the four in Color Me Bad look like the discount version of other celebrities. There's a dude who vaguely looks like him, but he dresses like him, so it makes it look like him more. Looks like a discount Kenny G. There's a guy that looks like Diet Vanilla Ice, and there's another guy that looks like Bargain Bin George Michael. I swear to God, watch the video for Color Me Bad. And you will, or for, excuse me, I want to sex you up, I've Color Me Bad, and you will 100% see what I'm talking about. The Walmart celebrity version of more famous musicians. All right, so we're getting out of the 90s, we're moving into the 1980s, and we're going to hit my run of something that I find very interesting. I didn't really think about it much until I was putting this together. How much I really enjoy female-led rock bands from the 80s. Like, I really... And solo acts, for that matter. But, like, I really enjoy a lot of these songs. And there were several others that I kept off that I didn't put on simply... You know, again, this isn't a comprehensive thing, but there are a couple other acts that I didn't put on, even though I do thoroughly enjoy them. So, right here, 1988 is what year we're in now. And Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, I Hate Myself for Loving You. What a great fucking song. It's the song that, if you are unfamiliar with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, please get familiar. Just fantastic. Fantastic music. Fantastic rock music. Great musician. She's incredible. But this song, you probably know it because it gets sampled for the Sunday Night Football song. Is what gets sampled for sampled for the Sunday Night Football song on NBC. So that's if you're unfamiliar with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, like I said, you've probably heard the song before without realizing it. You've actually probably heard a lot of Joan Jett songs without realizing they're Joan Jett. She gets covered endlessly by the likes of like Miley Cyrus and other modern female rockers. But Joan Jett, one of the all-time best. I Hate Myself for Loving You from 1988. Great, great throwback song. Sticking in 1988 and sticking with the female rockers, how about a little Lita Ford with Kiss Me Deadly, one of my all-time favorite songs of hers. I'm definitely not as big of a Lita Ford fan as I am like a Joan Jett fan, but do love Lita Ford's rock. Just another great female artist from the 80s. And just it's funny, like lyrically, if you just change the voice to a man's voice, the lyrics still work, right? Like, especially from Kiss Me Deadly, this particular song, just talking about going out partying, getting laid, everyone older than them being lame. It just sounds like lyrically, it sounds like any other rock song, but with like Lita Ford backing it, it's just like that much better. It is a fantastic song. Lita Ford, Kiss Me Deadly. Let's rewind a couple more years here. I had to put my man on here. This will be a really quick one. I had to put my man on here, the late, great Eddie Money. Take Me Home Tonight. Maybe one of the most classic, especially for people of, we rediscover music every like 15, 20, 25 years or so. So for people my age, Eddie Money, period, was definitely had a resurgence at our college parties in the early 2000s. And Take Me Home Tonight was absolutely one of those songs that you would have heard echoing throughout any frat house in Bowling Green, and probably for that matter anywhere across the United States, as people, as younger people, you know, late teens, early 20s, kind of rediscovered certain 80s songs and 80s, you know, 80s pop rock songs and stuff like that. So Eddie Money, Take Me Home Tonight, all-time classic song. I would even guess that young people have heard that song in some capacity, be it in a movie trailer, a commercial, something. You have heard Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight from 1986. Getting back on my female rockers here, and we're winding it back to 1982 now. Now we're getting a year before I was even born. Romeo Void. I feel like a very underrated kind of first wave alt rock band. Female led vocals, and their 1982 song Never Say Never just always finds its way onto various playlists of mine. It always finds its way, like when I look back at my, you know, Spotify top whatever songs of whatever year, probably every other year, Never Say Never manages to make it onto one of those lists, because it's just such a great song. So Romeo Void, Never Say Never, 1982. And we're gonna go back a couple of years, but we're gonna stick with more female-led rockers. In this case, one of the all-time great female rockers, but, you know, more than a rocker, musician, also potentially rapper, and a great actress as well, Blondie. Blondie's 1980 song, Call Me, such a great song. Great energy on the song. You have heard it left and right. If there is a movie about the 1980s, I would almost wager money that Call Me would be one of the songs featured in the soundtrack. You've heard it in movie trailers. You've heard it in commercials. You have heard it. It's just an all-time classic rock song. It's an all-time classic Blondie song. Definitely one of the songs that I think defines Blondie best. You know, it just, I don't know what else to say. Like, I'm sure that other people have more to say about Blondie and what that band meant at this moment in the late 1970s and early 1980s. But Call Me is absolutely one of their all-time great songs. And Debbie Harry just fucking kills it. Kills the vocals in this song. Actually, we're going to stick it in 1980 for a little bit here. sticking with 1980, though, I had to include one of my favorites that I feel like kind of is very underrated by a lot of people. And I'm talking about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and we're talking about their 1980 song Refugee. And it was just kind of interesting, like how Tom Petty is just one of those musicians that, you know, now the late Tom Petty, obviously, but one of those musicians that for so long kind of, I don't want to say under the radar, because he's had multiple hits, you know, across the decades, but maybe was never considered like the top rock act, the top folk rock act, however you want to like categorize his music, but maybe never one of the top acts, but always one of the strongest, most versatile, and most interesting lyrically and musically, you know, one of those types that, you know, decade after decade just kept producing great music. Even though you would probably never consider Tom Petty like the greatest musician of all time, but his long career and the fact that, you know, you go down to his hometown of Gainesville, you go to University of Florida, you can take classes on Tom Petty. And, you know, what he means to music and pop culture. So Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Refugee from 1980, a fantastic song, one of my all-time favorites. Again, stick it in 1980. I have to go with one of the, I'm a big fan of the early, we could, this is something we could probably discuss in a different music episode, but I'm a fan of the early alternative rock waves, you know, first wave kind of starting late 70s into the early 80s, especially is like one of my favorite musical time periods for alt rock. And I have to pick maybe the ultimate first wave rock band, Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime from 1980. Also one of the greatest music videos of all time. A music video that was, you know, we all know how like interesting and eccentric David Byrne is, but clearly a video that was written, directed, and starring drugs. But it's so fucking awesome. But the song itself, just a great example of where rock was going in 1980, and how it was going to expand into, you know, our understanding of rock was changing quite a bit, you know, from, you know, the band that I'm going to talk about here in a second, how in just a few short years, rock had really changed very rapidly. And in the few short years after, you know, Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime, how it continues to diversify throughout the 80s. So Once in a Lifetime, 1980, maybe one of those moments in music history where like you can take a song, by a tremendous band, a culture shifting band, take a song and then look at it and go, yeah, this is one of those moments where things began to change. Now, winding back a few more years, we're back in 1976. And as I said, like this is just kind of interesting how rock changed in the course from 1976 to 1980, because I have to go with my guys from Down Under, AC/DC, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, one of my favorites of theirs, and just like a one of those songs that just has persisted over the years because it's just such a fun. In previous episodes we've talked about villains, we've talked about how much fun like villains are to talk about, how much fun if you're writing any kind of story, how much fun villains are to write. They're just more fun than the heroes, right? And this AC/DC song is a song about villainy, and it's a fun song about villainy because villainy is kind of fucking fun. Like there's just a little bit, right? Like it is a little bit fun to just torment people I know I sound like a psychopath now, but there's just something that's like fun about it. And this song, despite being about blowing up, you know, killing your boss, blowing up your wife, doing whatever, it just kind of, I guess it kind of gives into our, like our more basic, our basic selves and, our need for this kind of like reflexive vengeance. And AC/DC just plays into it perfectly with this song, a fun song about potentially committing assassinations for hire. So there you go. Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap from 1976. And getting back into it, as I mentioned in a previous episode, was it yesterday? It had been yesterday. No, Tuesday. Gotta go with a little bit of Motown, and I gotta go with Ohio Motown. And I gotta go with our guys, the OJs out of Canton. They have a ton of songs, but I'm going with their 1973 classic. Again, a song that has persisted throughout over five decades now. One of their signature songs, For the Love of Money. You know, Trump has used it for his TV shows. It's in tons of movies and TV shows. If there's ever, you know, if we're ever like laying out some kind of spread of gold or there's a heist or something like that, For the Love of Money is probably playing in the background, and it's such a great. It is a bop. It's an absolute bop. It's a great driving song. Just makes you feel cool as hell. And like I said, man, we gotta support our Ohio Motown acts, and you gotta support the OJs. They are always fantastic. So, the OJs, For the Love of Money from 1973, and then wrapping up our playlist here, going all the way back to 1972. Probably not this band's most famous song, I think one of their most fun songs because it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of ridiculous. But a fun song and kind of, you know, at this point, they're definitely a holdover from a different era of rock. And I'm talking about Deep Purple, love Deep Purple, and their song Space Truckin' from 1972. It's about trucking in space. Oddly enough, good title for that, but it still has that. We haven't at this point in 1972. We haven't found more of that 70s hard rock edge that we get to with like AC/DC. We are still kind of carrying over more of the psychedelic rock from the mid to late 1960s, and that's really kind of where I personally sort of pinpoint Deep Purple a little bit more being, you know, feeling like a late 60s band. But that sound still carries over into the early 1970s on their song here, Space Truckin'. And I know we've talked about that before, how, you know, like, it, you know, the culture doesn't, like, we might number decades and have cutoffs and things like that, but culture kind of bleeds through it in a way that you could kind of consider. I think the last time we talked about it, Nugent and I talked about it when we did our 90s TV pod or 90s sitcom podcast. And we talked about how, you know, was it the 80s or was it the 90s that was the golden age of TV? And it's probably, you know, you can make the argument either way. Was it the 1980s? Was it the 1990s? But the real answer is probably somewhere that there's this period that encompasses both the 80s and 90s, probably the late 80s through the mid 90s, where the TV culture was at its strongest and also its most similar. And that's just the way pop culture works. The, you know, disco carried in through the early 1980s. you know, like I said, bands like Deep Purple, other psychedelic bands of that era, that sound carried through into the early 1970s out of the 1960s. And that's just like, you know, modern hip hop takes a while to form. Like, it doesn't just like form it. Year 2000 doesn't hit, it just doesn't form. It took a while for it to form because, you know, you still had 90s hip hop bleeding through into the early 2000s. So that's just the way culture has always worked. So Deep Purple, Space Truckin'. There's a long way to say that I love this song. Deep Purple, Space Truckin' from 1972. And I guess I'll just finish this all up here right now. It's really interesting, though, that like I said, I love Motown and I love some other, you know, I'll listen to some old Stones and Beatles and some other older classic rock stuff, stuff that not even, it's oldies now. I listen to it every now and then, but really it does, for me, it really does feel like my sort of personal cutoff, for the most part, my personal cutoff in terms of the music that I tend to, like, the older music that I tend to go back to, really is like the mid to early 1970s is really kind of where I cut myself off. I just, you know, you get to the point where you get to some of these musicians from like the 60s and 50s. I don't know who they are necessarily. Some of the members have been dead for 30, 40 years. You know, they're like, there's some of these acts from the 60s and 50s. They haven't made music. Even if they're still alive, they haven't made music since before I was born. So it just kind of, I don't want to call it like a blind spot, or I guess it's kind of a blind spot, but it's really more of like just a choice where I'm just not that into 1960s classic rock or 1950s classic rock. Unless it's, like I said, unless we're talking like Motown or something, I really don't go back that far. I really kind of, especially with rock music, my sweet spot kind of is like mid 70s. Really, actually probably even more like late 70s. All the way up through the late 90s is kind of like my sweet spot for rock. Obviously, if we start getting, you know, you start going far enough back, like there's no hip hop, right? Like it doesn't really exist yet. You know, you have like the OJs and you have Motown, you know, you have stuff like that, but we're not at hip hop yet. So that doesn't exist yet. Electronic music doesn't exist yet. Stuff that, you know, that kind of stuff that I enjoy. Metal music certainly existed. You know, you have like, early, you know, Black Sabbath, Scorpions, you know, from the 60s, obviously that have carried on through, but it's you know, metal really hasn't even formed yet until we get to the 1970s. So like all the things that I like really take a little longer to develop. You know, be it the 1970s or 1980s, that's really like when a lot of the music that I really enjoy begins to develop. So I just don't push back that far. But that's it. That is my Throwback Thursday playlist. We'll rip through this one more time for you. So, and we'll go 1994 back. So we're starting off in 1994 here. A pair of songs: 69 Boys, Tootsie Roll, Itty Kamozy, Here Comes the Hot Stepper, from 1991. Color Me Bad's hilarious. Now upon hindsight, hilarious. I Want to Sex You Up. Check out the video too. Equally hilarious. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, I Hate Myself for Loving You, from 1988. Lita Ford, Kiss Me Deadly, from 1986. Eddie Money, Take Me Home Tonight, from 1986. Romeo Void, Never Say Never, from 1982. Blondie's Call Me from 1980, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Refugee from 1980, Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime, 1980, AC/DC, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, 1976, The OJs, For the Love of Money, 1973, and we round it out with Deep Purple, Space Truckin' from 1972. And that is our throwback playlist. Again, you know, I'm sure you've heard of some of these songs before. If you're a very young person who has stumbled onto this podcast, you probably have not heard of a lot of these songs before, but you should check them all out because they have been sampled and reused over the years. You've probably heard bits and pieces of them at various places. Plus, these are just great fucking songs, and you young kids should get into these songs a little bit more. So that's it. We will check you out tomorrow when we are getting into Friday Calling. See you on the flip side.